Welcome to the Platform Podcast, where we talk to coaches, athletes, experts, and real people to learn about their approaches to training, nutrition, mindset, and much more. I'm your host, Jordan Kundi Wright, founder and head coach of the Twin Cities Kettlebell Club, and I'm on a mission to help others build sustainable, healthy lifestyles. Before we jump into the episode, I want to remind you that registration is live for the third annual Twin Cities Kettlebell Open on October 14th, hosted by our friends at the Athlete Lab in Little Canada, Minnesota. And if you missed our super early bird special, don't worry, we still have early bird pricing for only $70. Just go to our website, twincitieskettlebellclub.com/TCKBOpen2023 to register. This week, I am incredibly excited to welcome back our friend David Keown, the Irish Move athlete and the Irish Indiana Jones, as you will discover in this episode why I am now calling him that basically from now until forever. We had so much fun talking about what he's been up to the past year, trying to resurrect the sport of stone lifting in Ireland, crack a few Guinnesses, share some laughs, have just an awesome conversation as we always do. And out of this conversation, I decided to design a new t-shirt. So there is actually a David Keown special t-shirt that is called Whiskey on the Rocks, and it is available now in our store on the Twin Cities Kettlebell Club website. You can get it in traditional club black, all black everything for me always. And then we have the Kelly Green variant for St. Paddy's Day. I'll probably get a Kelly Green one, to be honest, because, you know, it's St. Paddy's Day. And I got to support my boy, David Keown, as he lifts these big-ass rocks. So I really hope you enjoy the episode. It was super fun, as always, and I'm incredibly grateful to David for continuing to humor me on St. Paddy's Day every year. I'm also incredibly grateful that you listened to this podcast. Of course, the best way you could support me is to sign up for the Twin Cities Kettlebell Open, tell some friends, bring your team, and just come have a great time. You just go to our website, twincitieskettlebellclub.com, for more details. And if you haven't already, please leave us a rating and review of the Platform Podcast to help grow our reach. It really helps if you share it with friends, send the link out, but especially those 5-star reviews help us do better with the algorithm, which, as we all know, the algorithm is important. And support our sponsors by clicking on the episode, by clicking on their links in the episode notes. And of course, last but not least, if you want help reaching your goals without wasting time, please fill out the coaching interest form linked in the show notes. I help athletes of all levels using my integrated coaching approach. You can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Twin Cities Kettlebell Club, or email me at twincitieskettlebellclub@gmail.com. Now, without further ado, let's step back onto the platform to talk with our friend, David Keown. All right, welcome into the special edition St. Paddy's Day podcast, the annual St. Paddy's Day podcast with none other than the Irish Move athlete, Mr. David Keown. Welcome back, my friend.
Jordan, it's good to see you, man. It's been 12 months.
I know.
Sláinte. Looking forward to catching up today, man.
Sláinte, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing fantastic, thank God.
And what you drinking?
I'm on the Guinness.
On the Guinness.
Yes,
I too am on the Guinness, but I'll kill my background here. You can tell me whether or not this is sacrilege or not, because I have a suspicion that it might be, but I could be wrong. So I'm on the Guinness 0% alcohol.
Boom. So. Get off the stage.
It's actually quite good, though. I have to tell you, like, it's actually quite good. The first time I had it, I was like, oh, it's just missing a tiny bit, right? And then by the time I got halfway through my first one, I was like, I can't even tell that this is alcohol free. And so, you know,
as 0.0s go, it's probably the best.
Yeah, yeah, it's actually really solid. I do have the Good Stuff whiskey going on the side here, but I haven't made a big thing of this, or I haven't really talked about it on the podcast, but I'm basically taking the year off from drinking. I've got a few kind of like occasions that I have planned where I'm allowing myself to consume a little bit. But I think I've picked like 12 occasions, like my anniversary, going on vacation, my 40th birthday. You know, there's a few occasions throughout the year where I'm like, I'm going to allow myself to have some drinks. So I'm not like going completely dry. But I've decided that I'm gonna give it a go. Since January, like I didn't drink at all in January, and I think since January, I think I've had like, I want to say like 5 total alcoholic drinks in the first part of the year. It's been a good change for me. Like, honestly, it's been good for me.
Would you have drank much before that, Jordan? Do you have drank much like the weekends and stuff before?
It really depended. Like it was one of those where it was like, if I got like 3-4 drinks in, then sometimes it might be like, oh shit, I'm going for like 8, 9, 10, you know, but it was more than anything. I think it was just like, I got too much into the habit of like, 1 or 2 drinks multiple times a week, and it was just becoming like, it's just like it becomes counterproductive to your goals, and it starts, you know, and I've got so much other stress going on, like in my life, like really busy with work, a lot of stuff going on, like good busy and a lot of good things. But it's like, I started just kind of looking at it, and I was like, you know, this isn't really helping me recover. It's not helping me, you know, it's not helping me in the ways that I like, it helps in the moment because it helps me relax or de-stress or whatever. But it also means that I'm not dealing with those things maybe in the best way, you know? And so it's like, it was just one of those things.
And like your whole next day is ruined and all that as well. But recovering, and you don't want to do anything, you know? And I hear that. So, I mean, I've been pretty much the same myself. I love, like, I'm a big whiskey buff. So, like, what I'd have is, like, say on a Friday or a Saturday night, I'd have, like, a glass. So, like, a nice glass, but a glass of whiskey.
Yeah.
And just sit down, maybe watch a bit of TV with the missus. That's about as much as I'd have. Like, I don't go out in the town anymore drinking. So, like I said, I'd have a glass of whiskey maybe once a week, twice a week max. And, like, I'm quite happy with that. You know what I mean?
I think that's the way to go about it. Like if you're one of those people that can manage that and like be solid with that, I think that's great. I think what I've realized for me is it can be a bit of a slippery slope. Like if I have too many bottles of whiskey open in the house, it's just super easy to slide into
this. Exactly.
Like, I'm not quite feeling that today, but I would like this one. You know,
this one.
Oh, no. So do they sell the 0.0 in Ireland? Is that a thing over there?
Oh, they do. Yeah, they even have it on draft in some places. Oh, nice. You know, so like it's grand. You know, like I said, if you're out for like, I wouldn't bother. I mean, if I was out like a designated driver or something, you know, you're only teasing yourself having 0.0.
So how you been, man? How's life going? Oh. Tell me what you've been up to.
It's been an amazing year, to be honest with you. Jordan, it's been fantastic. Like, I remember us talking about being over to Scottish Lifting Stones. Remember, we were talking about that last year. In the meantime, like, I've reanimated and unearthed an entire strength history in Ireland. You know, I brought an entire lost strength history in my country to the fore over the past 12 months by finding Irish lifting stones. Irish stones of strength that were long forgotten. And I just done a hell of a lot of research over the last 12 months and have, like I said, unearthed an entire culture and heritage that was lost. So it's been incredible, and I'm getting a hell of a lot of online presence from it. Like, I'm organizing festivals this year based around these lifting stones. There's some of the strongest men in the world coming up to a festival now in August. And like, it's just after snowballing over just from a hobby that I was just like, this would be a cool thing to do. All of a sudden, like, I'm getting national TV on it, and it's amazing.
You know, I think it's time for a rebrand, man. You're the Irish Move athlete. You're the kettle yoga guy, but I really think you're kind of like, you're like the Irish stone master now. Like, I don't know. I think we got to come up with a rebrand for you, man.
You know, I think so. I'm going to come up with something because like just the past 12 months, it's amazing though what you can do in 12 months, isn't it? I mean, it really is. That's what I found fascinating. Like, since talking to yourself, it's been amazing what's happened, you know, and all of these things I'm after unearthing. And all the people I've met along the way and all the good things that have come out of it. Like, and it's just 12 months, you know? So again, like I always talk to people, you put your mind to something, you know, there's nothing stopping you really on yourself, you know? And it's just, that's what I've been doing the past 10 years, I suppose. And I've been in fitness. I've been just saying, look, there's nothing stopping you on yourself. I mean, like how much imagination you have or how far you want to go is really down to you. And, you know, it's been that way for me this past 10 years. And I just feel I've been blessed this past 10 years, you know, between kettlebell sport, like running, marathons, and then moving all the way through to this over the past couple of years. Yeah, it's been an incredible second bite of the cherry for me, you know, from being the overweight guy I was 10 years ago. So, like, just dream big and go for it. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, that's like I have a saying I've used a few times. I say, you know, our limits are, we are a self-drawn circle. Our limits are usually created in our mind first and foremost. Like that, there's so many more things don't get achieved because we just don't try or because we didn't believe that we could, than things don't get achieved because we weren't capable of them. Like, we're capable of so much more than what we usually try, which I myself am trying to combat that. You know, you're always trying to remember, like, the stories that you tell yourself are super important. And if you
get
the mindset of I can do hard things, I can do the things, I can do whatever I put my mind to, like, you're hell of a lot more likely to be able to do it than if you're telling yourself, well, I can't. Right.
Exactly. You know, and like, it's something that I put myself forward just as an example of that. Like, I'm just your average guy, you know, married, 3 kids, mortgage, work of like a 40-hour-a-week job, standard job, work in a shop. But outside of that, I've done some pretty awesome stuff over the past couple of years. And, you know, it's just literally just being through pure bullish self-belief and putting in the time. And it's great. It's a great message I'm going to share out with my kids and stuff, you know, growing up, that you never have to limit yourself, even through your circumstances you're in, even if you're not in the job you wanted to be in or something you didn't want to, you want to be in, you can still do outside of that. They still have a lot of time. I mean, your job is only 8 hours a day, there's 24 hours in a day, and you know, you can manage to do anything else you want outside of that, you know what I mean, whether it be sport related or whatever, music, art, being creative, you can do it, you know, if you just put your mind to it.
Yeah for sure. Well, I'm curious now, when we talked last time, I'm trying to remember what you were lifting. You were starting to lift some pretty heavy stones. But what I've seen you attempting recently, your stone lifting has leveled up to a whole nother level of intensity. Like, so tell me a little bit about, like, you know, over the past, these past 12 months, how has the progression gone just from the mass of the stones that you're now attempting to lift?
Yeah, I mean, like, when I was training to go over and lift the Scottish stones, and like the heaviest mainland Scottish stone would be 160, but a lot of them would be in around the 120 to 140 kilo range. And a year ago, I was, you know, pretty much okay at that. I anything over 140, I suppose, I was starting to struggle. So 140 was my limit. But since I found, like, the Irish lifting stones, because the Scottish stones were more like tests from like boyhood to manhood, you know, they were like rites of passage. They couldn't be massively heavy, like, you know what I mean? Mm. You're not going to get a young man at 16 and 18 lifting anything over like 140 kilos, you know, it's not going to happen. So like they were like rites of passage stones, whereas I'm finding the Irish stones were more like feats of strength from the strongest man in the village, you know, or in the area. So like some of these, like the average I'm coming out with, all these, like, I found 19 stones, the average is 175 kilos. You know, which is a big weight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you're talking about stone lifting, I mean, it's a decent enough weight.
400 pounds. You know, I'm having to do the conversion in my head, and
you're getting up on around that 400 pound mark. You know,
yeah, 385 pounds is.
Yeah, you're getting up on around. That's just the average. I mean, some of the stones, the Irish stones, are well over 200 kilos. You know, 440, 450, 470. You know, huge weight. So what I've been doing is, because I know the Irish stones now, like, I found them all, like, I'm the person they're looking for them. Now I want to see, can I lift them, you know? So my training had to go from training up and around 130 kilos to now up and around 180 kilos, you know, which is a big jump in a year.
Yeah.
But it's, what I've been doing is just gradually adding, you know, like using like a deadlift protocol, but like doing that with stone lifting. So like, yeah, it's the stones are getting bigger. You know, you're lifting, like I said, up around 170 to 180 kilos now. You know, it's been a big jump. And again, like I'm looking back on Facebook posts, and you said 2 years ago struggling at the back lifting a 60 or 90 kilo stone. I know you're lifting double that. You know what I mean? It's amazing what you can do. And I put up a post there today, like, no, your body just adapts to stimulus. Your body adapts to work, you know. So whatever avenue you want to put yourself in, strength-wise or cardio-wise or whatever, your body will adapt to that, you know, right, if you just keep at it. So that's what I found fascinating. Even looking at myself back in 10 years ago, like in the depths of kettlebell sport and marathon running, and like being this size, you know what I mean? 74 kilos of absolute, like, 6% body
you're
fat.
You're wiry.
And now, like, a lightweight, total lightweight. And now they've been like 95 kilos, you know, 20 kilos heavier. But like putting on a lot of bulk through the legs and through the hips and stuff.
You know, and through your chest and, you know, chest and shoulders, like that side by side picture, you know, that you posted on Facebook. I said you should post the side by side because I remember the picture of you being super, super lean when you were in your peak, like kettlebell sport endurance training. And like you were lean and strong and, you know, all that good stuff. And then, now you're lean and bulky. Right. And, that side by side, like you can't really even see your legs that much in those side by sides, but you can see how much bigger you are through your chest, your shoulders, your arms. Like it's pretty incredible to see, like, just the side by side, like, oh, that's the same bloke. It's, and it's just, you know, a few years,
I mean, it's some training, it's some training, Jordan. I mean, like picking, like, just the simple act of picking up a stone from the ground. I mean, you've got like a row, you've got a deadlift, and you've got like a front squat, you know what I mean, all in one motion, you know. And you do that for like reps or do that for time, you know, you're going to put on some serious timber on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
not a bit of beef.
Have you changed,
and it's great fun.
Have you changed how you're eating at all to support that? Like, have you been intentionally eating more so that you can put on more mass? Like, how have you changed your diet?
The diet hasn't changed a hell of a lot more, to be honest with you. Because they don't, you're doing kettlebell sport, you really have to eat a lot because you're burning off so much in the training. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas I was probably burning off a whole heap because I was pretty much eating the same. But I mean, now I'm not doing, like, the cardio has kind of come down a little bit from what I'm doing. I mean, I'm mainly going out doing probably 40 minutes of good heavy lifting. I mean, even when I'm doing kettlebells, like, I'm using like 42s and 48s now, you know, instead of lifting 220s or 228s. Yeah. So, It's gone more on the strength end,
yeah,
you know, and the cardio has suffered a little bit, you know, which is unusual because I've been so fit the past 10 years. But I have a goal in mind this year, and I want to hit that goal. And the goal is to be stronger, and it's to lift the very first one I found, which is on Inishmore. I don't know what to tell you about that one. The one I found on Inishmore Island, and the very, very first historic lifting stone found in Ireland, or refound in Ireland. And that's 171 kilos. And right, that's my goal for this year, is to go lift that.
Nice.
So once I get that, I'm going to start back doing a little bit more kettlebell sport, I think. Even if it's like the IKMF games, like the more strength-based stuff, because I'd like to get back being a little bit more fit again, you know. But I think that I need to put on mass. I need to get big and strong to go lift this thing. Because there's not a lot of guys in the world can lift 171 kilo stone off the ground. You know, because
imagine,
like, think about it. Even like, I was looking at the Arnolds the other day, like, they're lifting 186 kilo stone. You know what I mean? And that's just one of the strongest men in the world. Like, you know, that is the strongest man in the world.
Yeah.
That's what they're lifting, you know, and like, you're only like 15 kilo away from that, you know, so you're at that level.
And they're lifting Atlas stones, which are perfectly round and kind of designed to be able to be bear hugged, right? I mean, they're still, there's it's no joke. I mean, that's still a huge feat of strength, but they're at least like uniformly distributed. And whereas a natural stone, it's not uniformly distributed. It's not,
big ass boulder, you know. So yeah, that's my plan. So I mean, like they said, the training is ramped up, the strength work is ramped up. But I'm really enjoying it. You know, I mean, it's such a basic movement. It's such a, you know, part, it's probably a part of our DNA, you know, like there, man, pick up rock. I
mean, there is something, there is something like visceral, something like when you just pick up a naturally heavy object in its natural environment, you're just like, argh! Like you get that kind of, like, you know, that kind it's of brilliant. Visceral response.
Oh, but I mean, the one I found in Inishmore, Jordan, it's just the story alone. I mean, everything about it, it's like a movie thing, you know, I mean. I heard there's a guy called Liam O'Flaherty, who's an Irish writer. Like, he's a well-known Irish writer. He's very renowned for his short stories. And he wrote a story called The Stone, you know, which I thought was just a piece of fiction. But, like, I know the story well. It's about, like, an old man. I say a man in his 60s, kind of lamenting his virility and youth and strength. And he's talking about the stone that he used to lift on the island, you know. And he got great social status. He got great respect for lifting this. And I was said, like, from time immemorial, this stone was lifted and was a rite of passage or a strength test for the youth of the village. And like, from time immemorial, like, you're not talking today or yesterday, you're talking, this goes way back. And it's on this incredible island just off the coast of Galway. And so I think that's a lovely story. But then I found out that from doing research, that this stone actually exists, an actual thing. You know, this wasn't fiction. This was him, like, writing almost like a documentary piece of this stone. So, like, shit, I'm obviously going to go find that, you know. So, like, a lot of research happened, and I was talking to a couple of islanders, and they said, yeah, it's down this little pathway down here. So I was like, right, I'm going to go see if I can go find that. So myself and the lads went off on, like, a really bad day, weather. We went off across the Atlantic Sea, like, you know what I mean, an hour out over to this island. We get to this place, and we walk down, and we find this, like, it was called a rose pink boulder in the story. And a large granite boulder, like a glacial erratic. And, like, the Aran Islands is just, like, grey stone. All this is ground, it's just stone. There's no grass. It's just grey rock everywhere. So it's like being on the moon. It's incredible. And then in the middle of all of that was just this big rose pink boulder. We found it. And I was like, I was talking to an islander, and he says, yeah, oh yeah, that's the lifting stone that Liam O'Flaherty wrote about. I was like, that's literally, like, Irish culture and, like, art and fiction and everything kind of coming into reality. And I was like, I can't believe it. That's the first Irish stone found, you know? And because it was just so awesome, I was like, lads, we have to do something with this. We have to kind of maybe organize some kind of a strength day or something around this. And all of a sudden, like, I heard this, like, there's an O'Flaherty festival, which is like they celebrate the O'Flaherty men, because they lived on Inishmore. They celebrate their life's work. And the lads who organized that festival were like, look, hey, this is incredible. Well, look, we want you to come over and give a talk. We want you to read the story down by the stone, of the stone story. We're going to get the news involved. We're getting, like, Irish national TV involved. Can you get a couple of stone lifters? Yeah, so now I've got Jacob Finnerty, a bear from the USA, he's coming over to lift it. And all of a sudden, this thing's gaining huge momentum. It's just it's after kind of taking on life its own. Some Ireland's eminent strength historians and sociologists are coming over to this thing. And, you know, it's like, okay, I better fucking lift this stone now.
So, yeah, so is this when the attempt is? Is during the O'Flaherty Festival?
So, like, yeah, this is going to be on TV. Like, you know, this is going to be one for the ages. So,
oh, that's,
like,
awesome. Are you going to live stream it on YouTube and stuff as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it's just going to be, like I said, I'll record it. I'll YouTube it. I'm going to have a videographer going to make a documentary of it. And, yeah, so the pressure's on. The train is ramped up. It's amazing. You know, it's amazing. That was the first of all the rest I found then over the year, you know?
Yeah, so how many Irish lifting stones are there on the islands?
Now, on the islands themselves, I found this whole subculture that the men on the islands used to go around in their boats and say on a Sunday, you know, because, I mean, there wasn't nothing like this. There was no internet. There was no nothing. Like,
what else is there to do?
What are you going to do? You know what I mean? You sit around looking at each other, you know? Yeah. So, like, on the Sunday, they used to go off around these islands, and every island had its own lifting stone. And they used to go around and see, like, challenges, like men do. You know what I mean? I bet you the strongest man on this island is going to beat the strongest man on that island, you know? And in the morning, you go down, and there'd be a bit of to and fro, a bit of banter. And I'm after finding, like, on the islands already, I've been to, like, Inishturk, Inishbofin, Inishman, Inishmoreen. Okay, yes, six on the islands down on the west coast of Ireland. And there's one on each of these islands. Like, there's probably about 25 islands inhabited off the coast. So I've been to six of them, and I'm sure there's going to be one on all the rest of them as well, you know. So, and all of them are all granite boulders, erratics, like, because the stone over there is like limestone, you know.
Yeah.
But all these granite boulders were dropped by icebergs a couple of million years ago. And they were the stones, because they stood out, I suppose. They're the stones that the men lifted. And they ranged, like, I mean, the one in Inishmore, 171, huge. You know, the one on the island beside that, I got Inishman, 165. You know, the one on I only found a couple of weeks ago in Inishturk, 207. You know what I mean? Just massive. You know, and you wonder, like, these men, you know what I mean, they didn't have any strength training. There was no such thing as a gym, you know. Well, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, maybe more. You know, so how the hell were these men lifting these stones? But like, I was talking to other podcasts about this. Like, these men did was work. All they did was work all day. I mean, you think we go to the gym maybe, like, for 2 hours, maybe 3-4 times a week. These guys were just out in the fields, just cutting hay, digging the ground. They were out fishing. They were pulling rowboats out in the ocean, building walls. I mean, they were strong. They were like really like farm strong men.
Farmer strong. That's what I was just gonna say. I grew up in a farm community in a, you know, little in the Midwestern part of the United States, and it, like a small community. Like we're talking like, awesome. You know, it was like you'd have 5 or 6 little towns that fed into one high school because there was no town that was big enough to make its own high school. So like all the little farm communities around there, and like during two-a-days for American football, like there were kids that like, oh coach, I can't be there for the afternoon practice because I got to go help my dad with the harvest, right? Because it's fall, you know. So like, awesome. Like yeah. I grew up in that kind of community, and I remember like when I was kind of at my functional strongest was when I was baling hay in the summers, and so I'd bale hay for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, and then I would go to football practice, I would go to whatever, right? And like you just get farmer strong because you're like, and it's very functional because like you got to be able to grip shit, you got to be able to pick up things that are awkward, you got to be able to throw things over your shoulder or you know whatever it takes, you got to help lift a tractor so you can get the jack under there and change out a wheel or something, right? Like all sorts of shit, you know. So like I can imagine the idea of actually like going to a gym and training, like the ancients would laugh at us, right? They'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? Like I lift shit all day. Like you have to go somewhere special to lift things.
It's probably exactly, you know, because you don't need it. I mean, you're doing that all day. That's the last thing you need to do. You know what I mean? Is go to the gym because you're just working your tits off like all day long. You know what I mean? You're as strong as you could possibly be. So, yes, I mean, I just think it's awesome because like, reconnecting with our like ancient past, you know, it's because I remember talking to you about this in the last podcast, like where when I was over in Scotland with the Fianna Stone, like reconnecting with my mythological past, you know, and that was wonderful. But now I'm actually connecting with my own country's past, you know, which is it's just something special, you know. It's a huge honor, I suppose, to be part of it, you know, because like all these stories were just there and all these stones were just laying dormant in these fields and graveyards, and you're kind of bringing them back to the public eye and you're kind of saying, look, lads, for the generations to come, they're there now, they're mapped, they're named, they're weighed. And, you know, get in contact with your ancient ancestors. Go lift them, pick them up. Go, I mean, if you're a strong man in a gym, go down and pick one up, try it.
Have you found any records like of like, you know, like David lifted this stone and, you know, like, are there records like that for any of these stones?
It's a great tale. So what it is back in 1936, 37 and 38, the Irish schools put, what do they call it? Folklore. They put folklore on their school curriculum for 3 years. Right. So like doing English, maths, whatever, they said, folklore is on the curriculum. So like see, kids say like in 11, 12 years old are told, go back, ask your mom and dad, your grandparents who live in the area, ask them about like their local heroes or about like who's the best at doing this or, you know, the best musician or bloody, you know what I mean? Whatever, any local tradition you can think of. And one of the branches they gave them was local heroes, right? So the local heroes could be like, say, a man who was the strongest man in the area, picked up a stone. Or it could be like the man who could like cut like an acre of hay with a slash hook in a day. You know, this kind of thing, powerful swimmer. But a lot of them were about stone lifting. So all these records were then taken back up to Dublin and collated. And now they're being digitized. And now they're on a website called Ducas, D-U-C-H-A-S. And that has all the folklore from every school in Ireland, like everywhere, all the way around Ireland, had this for 3 years. And all these stories are now digitized and on that website. So what
the Irish government basically just turned students into their like research, their own little research network. Like, go out there, you little bastards. Tell us the history of our country.
Tell us of your area. You know, so in the area, every school has its own folklore traditions. You know, every single one of the whole around the country, you think like there's thousands and thousands and thousands of these stories. So like I actually went up to the National Folklore Collection, which is in UCD, University College Dublin, just before Christmas. I was invited up because that's where I got all my stories from. So like, I went back to the source, and it's like walking into a library. I mean, just rooms and rooms and rooms of the original manuscripts, handwritten in pencil by kids. You know what I mean? That like such and such a guy, let's say Paddy Langan, lifted a large stone in a graveyard in Clonfad up in County Westmeath. And he picked up this stone and walked it from one area to another. And it said, a man would count himself a good man, is the line. A man would count himself a good man if he could repeat this feat, right? The stone is 190 kilos, okay? This guy took it from his house to a graveyard, which is probably about 400 yards. It was like, I mean, the Hosepel stone that they use in the world's strongest man is 186. And they walked that distance. And like, this guy just picked it up, picked up this stuff, which is heavier, and just took it for a stroll. You know what I mean? That's how strong these guys were. You know, it's amazing. But all of these stories are all there. They're all there. So what I've been doing is just scrolling through hundreds and hundreds and thousands of manuscripts. And every now and again, you'll find one on stone lift. And then you'll have to go into research, which is awesome. Because like, you feel like fucking Indiana Jones doing this. You know, so you find you found an area. It's like the graveyard is here. Some of the graveyards are so old, they're not even on Google Maps. You know, some of the graveyards are 150 years old, like, you know, 200 years old. You know, I went to a graveyard over in Inish Man. The church was built in the year 1200. You know what I mean? The graveyard was so old. You know what I mean? Like, the graveyard was so old, there wasn't even any standard headstones. Just flat stones, you know? So, I mean, that graveyard is like 800 odd years old, like, you know? And they've been lifting these stones since then as trials of strength. So like, and every single like one of these, and has their own background, has their own history, has their own story, and they have like, so I'm in the middle of writing a little book on it. It was just awesome, you know. It's just great. It's like I said, it's you feel like half a Indiana Jones, half a historian, you know, and part strongman. It's just the great best year ever. You know, I'm loving it.
That sounds amazing, man. That really, I mean, it's such an amazing thing. When I think like, it blows my mind when I think about the fact that like the country I live in is a third as old as some of the stones that we're talking about, right? Or even less than that, right? Like, you know, we're this, you know, 200 plus year old country, and they're, you know, you're talking about finding artifacts from Ireland that go back like literally thousands of years, some of them, you know, like it's blows my mind.
I mean, like, it feels like you're on a quest half the time on these things. You know what I mean? It's just, it's humbling and honor to be a part of it. Like, so, I said, some of these things, I mean, these graveyards are ancient. Some of them ancient. Like, they're so old, they're not even mapped. They're not even on Google Maps. So then you're hoping like a local will know where it is.
I was just gonna ask, so how do you go about finding these locate? Like, is it you're just like, pardon me while I wander about in your woods for a while, and
Don't shoot me here. It's in an area, right? So let's say it's in an area, so like a parish or a townland or whatever.
Yeah.
So then, like, a lot of times, I've just gone to the townland, you know, and just started knocking on doors or meeting people walking down the road, you know, asking them questions. And the one thing about Irish people is, well, wicked fucking nosy, like. Wicked nosy. Everybody wants to know what you're doing, you know. And another thing about Ireland is everybody knows fucking everybody else, you know. So, like, I was over in Inishturk Island the other day, and was like, oh, you're the fella that was over on the islands. I heard about you, and the lads were talking about it. You know, everybody knows everybody. You know what I mean?
I was just saying, did that start making it easier, though? Like,
oh, it is. So, like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I don't know anything about that, but wouldn't Paddy know? Should we go down? Paddy's down the road down there in that house. Then you go down to the house and say, Jimmy sent me down, and I'm looking for, oh, yeah. I think it's up here on the right-hand side. Or he'll know a fella who knows a fella. And all of a sudden, you're finding these places that you would have never, ever found, because they're well off the beaten track. Some of them, like, you're walking through fields, and all of a sudden you come across this ancient graveyard, like with old ruined chapels, and then just down by the wall, then, like, there's this lifted stone that's been sitting there for 150 years, you know, untouched, hasn't been picked up since, like, the year 1850 or so, you know what I mean? And you're the first person to lay hands on it and attempt to lift it, you know, in that amount of time. Yeah, it's fantastic.
So how many stones have you, I won't say, like, have you reclaimed, right, or rediscovered, right?
Yeah.
Like, how many have you rediscovered?
So far, it's 19 so far.
Wow.
Which is a lot, you know, it's a lot considered. It was none this time last year. Like, you know, I found the very, very first one, the story I told you on Inishmoor, exactly 12 months ago. So that was 12 months. So in 12 months, I found 19. But doing something just grabs a hold of you, you know, like, every free day, I'm off in the car, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm off every second Tuesday in work. So like my wife is in work.
He's off looking for stones again.
The thing is, like, the kids are going, like, wife is in work, so like I got a whole free day. Yeah. So I'm off in the car. I leave the house here at 6. And another thing about Ireland is it's tiny. You know what I mean? You can get anywhere in Ireland to drive home the same day. So like a lot of times it could be like 2 hours away, you know, maybe 3 hours away. So you're driving 3 hours, you're having a route around maybe for an hour. And then you're finding it and getting a lift on it and coming back and you're home and all by lunchtime, you know, so it's awesome. And the ones that are obviously harder to get to are the island ones, because they take a bit of planning, because, you know, you have to get a ferry and you have to do all that kind of stuff. But even still, stable in the day. I mean, I went off to Inishbofin Island, say I'm down in water, which is down here in Ireland, right? Inishbofin Island is off the coast up here. So it's a fair distance, you know, from this part of the country to this part of the country.
So you're getting to know your homeland still, pretty well.
Yeah, so he was still, it's only like a 5 hour drive, you know, so it's 5 hours. I've gone the whole width of the country, gone off on a ferry, met the local, found a stone, and was home on all the same day, you know. So it's well doable. It's well doable. Like, so yeah, 19 found so far, which is a lot. I mean, that's a good stone tour for anybody to come over on. There's guys now, like, I'm getting contacted like almost daily now from guys who are into this, you know, guys who like lift the stones in Iceland, who lift the stones in Scotland. Some of the best guys in the world are American, actually. You got Sean Urquhart and Ryan Stewart. And they're both coming over in the summertime to do a stone tour. And like, there's people just ringing you up all the time. Look, I want to come over to kind of meet you, or this kind of stuff, you know. So it's awesome. It's taken on a life of its own. It was starting to self-generate. Like, it took 12 months of me just as a hobby doing this. But now, all of a sudden, it's starting to move by itself. Like, you know, the ball is rolling down the hill.
Yeah.
Forgive the pun. And people are starting to get contact with you. They want to meet you, they want to say thanks, or they want to come lift the stones. And all of a sudden, this whole culture is coming back. And it's kind of humbling to think like this will hopefully echo through the ages. You know what I mean? In 100 years' time, please God, there'll still be people lifting these stones.
Kettlebell Drenger, Happy New Year. I hope that 2023 brings you much happiness, riches, honor, and glory. You can find all of these by signing up for the 2023 Twin Cities Kettlebell Open. Registration is available now at twincitieskettlebellclub.com/TCKBOpen2023. Register today. We will be back at the Athlete Lab in Little Canada, Minnesota on Sunday, October 14th, and accepting video submissions for online competitors. There will again be raffle prizes for all registered competitors and the opportunity to win cash prizes for the top performances in the competition. Come, answer the call of battle. Join us and fight for your clan. Fight for yourself and claim your spoils and your glory. Let's make 2023 the most epic year yet, and may your name forever ring out in the Hall of Champions. Sign up today at TwinCitiesKettlebellClub.com.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm curious, like, you've discovered 19. Like, how many more do you think are out there?
Just
for Ireland, we'll keep it scoped to Ireland. Like, how many more do you think are in Ireland?
I think there's possibly one in every village. You know, I think there's possibly one in every village, because what I'm getting from this is, what happened was on the Sundays, they used to call them the Trials of Strength. So after Mass on Sunday, they used to have the Trials of Strength, and that would be, you'd go down to either the graveyard where there was a large lifting stone, that then the men would go lift after Mass. You know, just again placing bets and having a bit of crack. Or there was the nearest crossroads.
You've been sitting in Mass for 90 minutes. You got some energy.
You want to go out again, you know, and especially like, say at a funeral where there's people maybe from another parish that you might have seen before. There might be the big strong man from up the road. And you want to see if you beat him, you know. But or to be at the local crossroads, they used to go down and just, like, do stone throwing, like almost like shot put.
Yeah, that's where shot
casting, or putting the stone. You used to do that at crossroads, or lifting heavy stones. And that was like at the crossroads in pretty much every village. I can imagine. There's hundreds of these out there, you know. And I mean, what I think amazing is, like, over in Scotland, I was talking to a guy called Jamie Garion over there. who knew Peter Martin, went off, he found all the Scottish 50 stones. Because he said, like, back in 2012, he said, in 2012, there was only two Scottish 50 stones. There was the Inver Stone and the Dinny Stones, and that was it. That was all that was known. Yeah. And that was only, that's only 10 years ago. There was only two. And he said, Peter Martin then went off on a quest, and he found another 30, you know, from research. So, like, there was two 10 years ago. Peter Martin found 30. So that's 32. Like I said, there was none at the start of last year. And now I found 19 in a year. I'm like, I think this is just going to keep going. I mean, I can see 50, 60, maybe even more, you know. And what I love about the fact that I'm going to be on national TV is the people who watch this program, it's called Nationwide, the people who watch it are generally older people, you know, people in their 60s and up. But I'd imagine they'll have a few stories to tell. So when you get on TV and you sort of become like you said, the stone guy, you know, you'd hope that people will then get in contact and say, oh, yeah, I haven't thought about it in a while, but there's one here or there's one here, this kind of thing, you know. So
we got to get you a Gray Stetson so you can start wearing your Indiana Jones hat as you're going on these on these expeditions, man. What's been the hardest stone for you to like to find or unearth, right? Like, because I imagine some of these have to be like, if they haven't been lifted in for years, like they've got to be overgrown and like some of them are hidden or covered with overgrowth, or so like what's been the biggest pain in the ass to actually like be able to get it to where you can get it out of the earth?
The best find was one a story about, it was called the Flags of Den, is the name of it, right? The flags, like flagstones, the Flags of Den.
And then is that referring to their shape? Are they shaped kind of like, like a flag?
Okay. Flagstones, like the shape of the phone in front of us, you know, like a flagstone. Hmm. But there's all these amazing stories about the Flags of Den, some supernatural stories, mythical stories that, you know, if you turn them over and invoke the name of the devil, you could curse your neighbors, you know, and all this kind of cool stuff. I haven't been an eye to my neighbors in a while, but at least I know that's there if I want
it. It's an option. It's an option.
I'm going to fucking curse you now, and I'm really going to do it because I know where the fucking stone is.
You better be nice to me. You bet.
So the Flags of Den have all these cool stories. But like the men in the parish at funerals, because this was in the graveyard in Den, they used to see who could lift this large flagstone. And there was a great story that one man picked up this stone, put it on his back, walked to the pub, which is about 100 yards down the road, was bought a whiskey, drank a whiskey, and walked it back to the graveyard. The stone's still on his back. There's some great stories about it, you know? It's just like, I love the sound of this. And I said, it was a large flagstone with a cross carved or etched into it. Like, right, okay, I know what it looks like. Because a lot of times you don't know what they look like. You're just taking a guess. So off I go up the cabin, which is about a 3.5-hour drive here, up through these shitty winding roads. And I get to what I thought was the graveyard. It was a graveyard attached to the church. But it was too new. I was like, oh, no, this can't be it. You know, this has to be an old graveyard. So I was wandering around for about an hour, couldn't find anything. And then this older man comes to the church. Man, I said, well into his 80s, you know. And I said, look, I'm looking for Den old graveyard. Oh, it's not here, he said. It's about a kilometre down the road on the right, he said. But it's really, really overgrown. He said, are you from the county council to cut the grass? I said, I'm not. I said, I'm looking for the Flags at Den. He said, oh, geez, I heard of them, he said, but I've never seen one. Jesus, said, I haven't even thought about one of them in 50 years. He said, I remember my grandfather talking about it, you know, but he said, I've never seen one. He said, I said, you're going to do well to find him in that graveyard. I said, why is that? He said, it's wicked overgrown. He says, no one cut that graveyard for 20 years. I said, oh, shit, okay. So he said, mind your feet. So the ground is sunk in with all your coffins and stuff. He said, be very, very careful of your feet as well. He said, because if something happens, there's no one going to find you up there. You know, it's like, okay. So we get to the place, Jordan, it's like the weeds are like 8 feet tall, you know. I mean, it's on the height of the ceiling, just overgrowth everywhere. And I was like, it's a whole graveyard, probably about an acre and a half grave. Like, how the fuck am I going to find that in here? But I said, look, I'm after driving 3.5 hours. I'm not going to go without trying. So like I had a slash up in the back with a crowbar, you know. So I go in and start on the wrong side of what I should have started on. I know that now. I started on the right-hand side. And I just kind of cut and poked my way through the entire graveyard because you couldn't even see the headstones. Everything was buried under overgrowth. And 2.5 hours later, still cutting my way through. And I was like, oh, I'm just fucking fed up now. I'll try one more spot and then I'm going to go home. So, like, you know, you're cutting through briars and hands were just cutting blood, you know, and just mud everywhere. And you're like, oh, this is, what the fuck am I doing? I'm mad. You know what I mean? This is just crazy. So I just go up into the left-hand corner of the graveyard and I just start cutting away, like, you know, because that's 2.5 hours, you're not expecting to find that, you know. and I get this clang noise, and I pull back some ivy and I see the bottom of a cross etched into this flagstone. I was like, oh fuck, this could be it, you know, this could be it.
Does the heart start beating?
I started, like, sweats are rolling down my head. Pull back all the ivy, and it's just this big, perfect flagstone, probably about 4.5 foot long, probably about that thick, with this cross perfectly carved into it. You know, it was like something from fucking Indiana Jones, Chirp. I'm not joking. It was like finding it under, remember, under Venice. That's what it felt like. It was like, this is incredible. I'm after finding this perfect flagstone with this cross. That's the flag of Denham. I'm after finding it. It's probably sitting there fucking 100 years, not touched. You know what I mean? And it is beautiful. Like, it's like the shape. I'm looking at the phone. It's the shape of the phone in front of me with the cross, just one cross carved into it. And it's massive. I mean, I'm talking between 220 to 250 kilos. Like, it's.
Yeah, so 4.5 feet long. Like, you were like, it looked like 12, maybe 18 inches thick. Like, that's a.
Yeah.
And then
brute.
Like, it's got to be what, like another 3 feet, probably 3 feet wide as well, then, like, if it's a flagstone. Like, oh.
But I was like, I was looking at the guys. I was like, at first I was thinking, how would the name of God would you go about lifting this? Because I was thinking, right. But I was looking at, did you ever watch the Rogue documentaries on the stone lift?
Uh-huh.
The guys over, yeah, the guys over in the Basque Country doing the leverage lift, you know, doing the big block lift,
yeah,
where they kind of they put it onto their lap and then they lean back.
Yeah, they roll. Yeah, that's a technique you do with Atlas stones too, right? Like you roll them up to your knees and then you're kind of in that chair position, you're bear hugging it and you start rocking like rocking chair to try and get enough momentum to then get it up to the shoulder to then you can put it on the platform. And
exactly. So I was thinking it probably did the same way they lifted this thing, you know, but it was just the finding up because it took so much hassle. And
Did you lift it? You were good and warm.
I tried, I attempted to, but I just couldn't. But to be honest with you, by the time I found it, I was absolutely knackered anyway just all the cutting and all the stress and then finding it. I know it's an excuse, but I mean, I don't think I'd be able to lift up that kind of weight anyway. Not now, not yet, but I mean, it's a goal. It's another goal to try and get it, maybe just break the ground and even be delighted with that because it was just such an awesome find. It was so hard to find. But then, like I said, that you get that rush when you actually get it. It was like, oh yeah, that's amazing, you know? And it just looks so beautiful. And like this thing was used. It was used as a mass rock. I don't know if you've ever heard of mass rocks, but it was used as a mass rock back in the day, back when our penal law, the Irish couldn't practice Catholicism due to British invasion. This was used as an altar, you know, in the graveyard. So like the priest used to say mass at this stone. So there's a lot of history about it. Do you know what I mean? You got like socioeconomic, political history, you know, you got religious history, you got strength history, you got, you know, mythology about like invoking the devil. It's an incredible story.
Wow. Yeah, I'm curious. Do any of the stones? Because what a lot of people associate stones in Ireland with probably Stonehenge, right? Which is, you know, the Druids, right? Are there like Druid lifting stones? I know there's some ties to Catholicism and Mass and the time where English occupation where they weren't allowed to practice their chosen religion. I wonder, like, how far back does the stone lifting go across some of the other cultures in Ireland as well?
Yeah, I mean, I found one on an island called Inishbofin. Inish being island and Bofin mean white cow. It's the island of the white cow, which has some great stories attached to it as well. But that's off the west coast of Mayo, County Mayo in Ireland. And over there, in this old ruined monastery, this like 15th century monastery, there was this stone, what they call a Balon stone. So a Balon stone is like a large boulder that's like a bowl caught into it, you know? So what they were used for was that one of the theories, they don't really know what they were used for. But one of the theories was they were all druidic offering stones or you know, the conduits to a deity, you know, so the likes of Cran Cruach and the Tuatha De Danann and all that kind of stuff. So they were old pagan worship stones. So like they're talking at least 1,000 years old, you know, possibly more, I mean, possibly 2,000 to 3,000 years old, you know, because Catholicism only came into Ireland in the year 700. So, I mean, you're talking way before that. So this stone was used as an offering stone. Then the Catholics took them and used them as holy water fonts, you know. So like, that stone has been a conduit to deities for like probably 1,500 years, you know. And it was also used as a lifting stone. So that one in Inishbofin was pretty awesome because you get to this old ruined monastery, you know, and all that's left is just a gable and a window cut through it. In front of that, there's a Catholic altar, an old stone altar. And in front of the altar, the Balon stone. So you're lifting like a druidic stone onto a Catholic altar, which is pretty awesome. That you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is awesome. And then you're looking through that window, you're looking back at the mainland, you know, so it's a pretty special place, you know? So, yeah.
I got to come see you. I got to come lift some of these stones, man. This is I think maybe it resonates more with me because I'm of Irish heritage, but I feel like no matter what heritage I feel like it's just such a unique thing. Like it's such an intersection of so many pieces of culture, like physical culture, like you said, politics, religion, and especially in a place like Ireland, like there's just so many aspects like folklore and mysticism and you know, like it's got it all.
I mean, the one that I'm most excited about finding was one called the Clochundra, which was up in County Mayo again, you know, but that was a giant throwing stone. I mean, the mythology goes that this giant used to throw this stone around like a pebble, and the marks of his hands, like his fingerprints, are in the top of the stone, you know? So it was like, that sounds really, really cool. An old Irish giant, you know, a couple of thousand years ago, used to pick this stone up and throw it over his shoulder and like throw it, like you and I would throw it at a small pebble stone.
Yeah.
Because like Ireland is full of giants throwing stones. I mean, every stone, every glacial erratic has a giant story attached to it. There's hundreds of them all over Ireland. You know what I mean? That Fionn MacCool threw that stone from a mountaintop, you know, and it landed in that field. And there's the marks of his hands in the stone, you know? So it's like, wouldn't it be cool if we could find one that like had a mythological tie, but was small enough that like an armor man could lift? Because all of these stones, like some of them, like are 60 tons, you know what I mean? 100 tons, the size of a tractor, you know, the size of a small car. But I found this one up in Mayo. It's like, this giant used to throw the stone around like a pebble. The mark of his hands is in the stone, and the local strongman used to lift it to see whether they are strong as the Irish giant. It's like, that's just fucking brilliant. I mean, is that there? So then I drive up to Mayo, which is 5 hours away, and I get to this village, and it's sitting in the middle of the village green on four little legs, you know, they're using it as a seat. And like, that's the giant's throwing stone. There, look, I can touch it. The giant used to throw that around. Marks his hands. You can see the fingerprints and thumbprints of his hand is at the top of the stone. Whether it's true or not, it's a great fucking story. Yeah, yeah. And there it is. You know, there it is. There, pretending on it. So, like, this story, that's the bridge between reality and mythology, right there. So I said, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to make something out of this because, like, the story alone is just fucking brilliant. You know what I mean? An Irish giant. So I'm organizing a festival in July up in Mayo, up in this village. And the tagline is, are you as strong as an Irish giant? And I'm going to get guys up to see, can they lift this stone, you know?
Nice.
And again, I put it out online, and this guy's coming from all over the place. You know,
how heavy is that stone?
I didn't get a chance to weigh it, but I'm estimating between 170 to 180 kilos. Okay.
And how do you weigh 180 kilo stone? Like, you can't just use a bathroom scale for that. Like, what are you hauling? Around a freight scale or something? Like, how are you weighing?
Well, I have a crane scale. This morning, my crane scale. So I have a little like a hanging crane scale.
Okay.
But I mean, you can weigh up to 500 kilo on this thing. And have a couple of steel bars. So usually, if I get someone to come along with me, we hold both sides of the bar. We wrap the stone in like rope, tie it on this crane scale, and lift it up. And then you get that hanging weight, you know.
Okay.
But I just said like, this story is incredible, and like, you know, and the tagline is brilliant. Like, are you as strong as an Irish giant? I mean, who wouldn't want to come over and try that? It's awesome. You know what I mean? So there's guys coming from all over, you know, and some of the Irish strongest men are coming to get involved. Cerberus Ireland, which would be the Irish Strongman Association, they're getting involved. So like, this is going to be brilliant. You know, it's like, I get Irish music, we get like craft food, we get the local food stalls, we get the pubs involved. Like, we have a bit of crack, we'll make a little event of it, you know?
Hell yeah, that sounds amazing. What do you think is the limit? Like, what do you think is the limit as far as how heavy of a stone a human nowadays? We'll set aside the Irish giants. How heavy of a stone do you think? What do you think the limit is right now as far as the heaviest stone you think a human can actually lift right now?
I don't know, because I'm looking at the likes. I mean, like Jacob Finnerty, who's coming over, right? If you don't know him, friend him up. He's down as Bear. And his tagline is like, I'm the strongest guy you've never heard of. But he is the world record in stone press, overhead press. And he's one of the best stone lifters in the world, you know. And he is going to try and press like 170 to 180 kilos over his head.
Over his head. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So I mean I think he could actually press the giant stone over his head, wow. You know. Which I think he'd probably be one of maybe 3 men in the world who could possibly do that, you know. But I think as in get a weight to your chest, probably 300, maybe more. Maybe more than 300 kilo.
Yeah.
Depending on, like, I mean, if you're one of the world's strongest, if you're one of the top athletes in the world, you know, because I've seen some lifts from some average guys. You know, I've seen some lifts from some normal guys. I mean, look up, like, one of your fellow Americans, Sean Urquhart. Like, Sean is an absolute monster. You know, he's not a huge man. Not that I can tell from his you know, just his online stuff. But he's not a massive man.
Yeah.
But he's lifting a huge weight. I mean, that man is chucking around 200 kilo stones pretty easily.
Wow.
Natural stones, you know.
Do you think a guy like Hop Thor, would he be at a disadvantage because he's so big? Like, because he's 6'9", 400 pounds? Like, would that be a disadvantage being that big to be able to, like, get down and get things off of the ground?
So fucking strong. I mean, don't when you watch, like, we watched the Full Stalker documentary, the one they made in Iceland. He featured heavily in that. And, like, and he was picking up, like, the Husafell stone and, like, picking it off the ground and lifting up and getting air on it and then kind of catching it. You know what I mean? The man is just incredibly strong. You know, he's just so strong. I don't think it'd be a disadvantage for him specifically. No, definitely not. He's just an absolute beast of a man. And I can't wait to see some really heavyweight dudes, some real big guns. Like, that's what I'm really looking forward to seeing, like, Sean and Jacob come over this year and see what they can do with these huge, big Irish lifting stones, you know? Because a lot of them, like, I'm not going to have them going. I mean, one of the stones, the one I found on Inish Torque, which is 207 kilos, the lift was, it's like a half lift. So literally just a break around. Yeah. Get it an inch off the ground, and that's a valid lift.
Yeah.
But I think these guys can really fucking put these on their shoulder. You know what I mean? So, like, these guys will go down a local legend. If they do that, they'll be talking about forever.
I mean, even if the standard was just to break ground, if you can lap it, that's a huge accomplishment. And then if you can shoulder
it's massive.
Like, if you can shoulder it, you're a freak of nature. Like, yeah, that's...
You will be down in local history forever. You'll be forever talked about. Because, I mean, like, I was over in Inishtork Island, Jordan, and there's only 40 people live on the island. Like, 40 people on the whole island. You know, that's not a lot of people. You know what I mean? And you go down in history forever. You know, there will be the legend of whoever lives. So, like, I'm looking forward, even for them, I'm, like, so excited for them to come over and try it because their names will never be forgotten, you know?
Oh, that's fantastic. I can't wait to see. I've been following all the stuff that you've been doing, and I'm just like, man, he's finding new stones every freaking weekend, it seems like.
You know, when you just get obsessed, you know, when you just get...
No, I've never gotten obsessed with anything ever in my life. Never happened. Never
Come here, that's enough about fucking me. How are you getting on? What's the training like?
I'm getting on well, man. You know, I'm I had shoulder surgery June 1st, so I'm like 9 months out from shoulder surgery. So now I'm just now clearing the window where my physical therapist would have said that I could start lifting again. But I started lifting 3 months ago, but I started fairly light. Like, I started with 12 kilo, you know, with 12 kilo stuff, and worked my way.
Just get back into it.
Yeah, just been working my way back, but I'm back training on 16s again, mostly, you know, which has been good. It is very much like it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? It's like, I'm actually kind of excited. Like, it's like being a new lifter again. And I'm like, you know, because you always ask people, like, what would you do different if you knew, like, you know, if you could go back and start all over? It's like, well, I basically went back and started all over. So now I, like, the nice thing is, like, I know my technique is very solid. And now I'm not in a hurry to go. I'm not in a hurry to go up to heavier weights, right? Like, I was very intentional about. I started with 12s, and then I went from 12s to 13, and from 13 to 14, and then I went from 14 to 16, right? And I was like just being very intentional about trying to be incremental with it, and on certain days, like, if my shoulder feels wonky or whatever, I'm like, okay, I'll put the 16s down and I'll go back to the 12s. Like, I haven't had any weird, like, mental, you know, cause back in the day when I was younger, it was like, oh, you can't lift that. You got to lift heavier than that. Right. It doesn't count if you're not, you know, it's like, nah, fuck that. I'm older now. Like, I have nothing to prove to anyone at this point. I'm just older trying to do this. Yeah. I'm just trying to do this to get healthy and to, you know, to be strong. And, you know, so I'm pretty excited about the direction. It's the where I'm at, you know. It's nice to have my shoulder functional again. And
how's it feeling?
It's feeling all right. There's still It's getting to the point now where most of the time I don't notice a huge difference between my right and my left, but then I see the video and I'm like, and you can see it's riding higher. I can't straighten my right elbow as much. And like, you can see there are still, I'm like, oh, okay, I need to keep doing my physical therapy. I need to keep working on that mobility. Like, you know, cause it's starting to feel normal again, but it's not, it's still not normal. It's not there, but you know, it's coming along. So I'm pretty stoked on it. Yeah, it's been.
And have you any goals for the year? Anything you want to hit, or are you just going to keep keeping on?
I think for Riddlestruck in August, I'm going to do a 10 minute triathlon. It's just a matter of whether it's with 16s or 20s. So we'll see. Like I'm hoping that I'll be fit enough to do 20s. For a 10 minute triathlon. But we'll see. And if it's 16s, it's 16s, right? And that's fine, you know. So
well, you know, because I mean, like the doing of it is the thing, you know, and triathlon especially the jerk section, like that's so balls, you know.
The hardest part for me in triathlon is always the long cycle, because it's typically at the end and you've already like cashed out some of your shoulder endurance on jerk, and then you've cashed out a good amount of your grip endurance on snatch. And so then it's like, well, what do you have left? And how much suffering can you take, right? And how deep can you dig, because those reps are worth 3 points, right? They're worth 3 times as much as the other reps, so they're pretty valuable. So you don't want to suck ass in long cycler. You're not going to put up a good coefficient, right? So, but it's also it's also the last lift. So you're like, you know, at least for me, I'm like, I'm just trying to survive a lot of times that long cycle set. And like, I still haven't successfully completed a 10 minute triathlon with 20s, because a couple of years ago when I did the Cali Open, when it was during COVID, and it was all virtual, and Kettlebell Games was like, we're going to do it virtual. I did well in jerk. I did well in snatch, and then long cycle was last, and it was actually on. So I did biathlon on Saturday, and then Sunday was long cycle day. And so I was going to do long cycle in my garage, and I got all set up and everything, and I got into it, and I was like, 3 minutes into my set and my fucking camera fell over. Like my tripod fell over. And so I was like, I had been all like, I was in my groove, and like, I had been like ready to go mentally. I was ready to go. And then my camera fell over and I was like, well, what the fuck do I do now? So then I had to put them down, and then I like reached out to the organizers, and they're like, that's fine. We've got a slot in not the next flight, but the flight after that. So I stopped 3 minutes into my long cycle set, had one flight off to like reset, and then had to go back and do it again. And I made it five minutes into that. And then I was mentally out of it.
I can understand that 100%.
Put them down at 5 minutes, and yeah, I was just pissed. So like, just finishing a 10 minute triathlon with the 20s this year would be my,
that'd be a great thing to do. So even on the 16s would be great. 20s especially, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, 20s would be great. 16s, I probably will be like, okay, cool, ho hum. But you know, like, I'll be happy about it. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'll be happy about it if I can do that. But yeah, we'll
good stuff, man. How's all the team do?
That's what I'm most excited about, is we have some. The team is doing well. We have some people that are really crushing it. A lot of people, I'm excited to see kind of the shift that's happening in the sport right now towards triathlon, because that's been my philosophy for years. Yeah. And we're seeing a shift toward, because IUKL just decided you can compete in any of the three events individually, or you can compete in triathlon. They got rid of biathlon as its own event. And so, I think that's going to be an interesting shift, but I'm seeing some people on my team really put up some impressive numbers on triathlon, which is cool. And, you know, there's my buddy Dave here is close by. And he's been progressing. He was in nursing school for the last year and a half, and he graduated and everything. And so now he's been able to train more, and I'm starting to see his numbers come up, and I'm like, you're going to like just show up and people are going to be like, who the fuck is this guy? you know, cause he's big and strong, and he's like my height, but he's got better anatomy for it. He's got longer arms and higher hip bones and everything. So he's got the anatomy for it. And he's been training for a half marathon on the side too. So his cardio is already really solid. And so, you know, I'm excited to see what he does in October. And yeah, everybody's doing really well, and it's a lot of fun.
It's an interesting shift, isn't it, from IUKL to triathlon, isn't it?
Yeah, Yeah, it really is. I'm really interested to see if the rest of the sport embraces that, or if they kind of stand apart on their own with that. We'll be interested to see.
That's what the thing with kind of a sport, like, just the goalposts just shift so much, don't they? I mean, it changes every couple of years to something else. But I mean, look, at least it keeps it interesting. You know, I mean, like, I think triathlon is a great idea, because you have to be a good all-rounder. You have to be good at all, you know, and truly show who the best all-round athlete is. And then you'll have, obviously, your specialists as well. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting take on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be really fun. I'm really interested to see when you said you were going to come back to sport at some point when you're.
Yeah. Cause I'm like I said, I'm training away. Like, I train once a week kettlebells with a client of mine. We just go out the backyard. And like, I have kettlebells from 20 kilo. Like, I'm 20, 28, 36, 42, 48. And we train heavy, you know, but like, we do like, say, 10 swings, 10 squats, 10 press, you know, up and down the ladder a few times. And, you know, I mean, especially when you're pressing like 42s and 48s, I mean, you only get strong with it. So, and like, the stone lifting obviously helps.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, do the likes of the IKMF games or maybe some pentathlon stuff, you know, because I mean, I've proven to myself, like, the long cycle stuff and the marathon, I've done all that, you know, and there's much I wanted to do with it. But I think it'd be great fun to try the other branch now, because you're that bit stronger. Maybe try the likes of the 48 kilo jerk set, or do some like good heavy pentathlon stuff. You know, so that'll be interesting after we kind of hit a few goals I want to hit this year. Maybe not this year, maybe it'll be next year, but it's definitely lurking in the background. You know, the thought is there. I'd like to come back and try that, you know. Nice. Well, you still can.
Yeah,
you know,
well, sure.
I have a few years.
You're still young. You're still young. You're still a young man.
Young enough.
You know, the lifting is the fountain of youth. It keeps you young. That's the thing. I think that's the thing. Keep lifting, so long as you can get yourself off the ground and pick up heavy things off of the ground. You know, the longer you can do that, the happier and healthier you're going to be throughout your life.
That's exactly it. Like you said, it's such a functional movement. You know, that's why I love to like the kettlebells. And they really help each other. The kettlebells and the stone training, they're great. You know, kind of a balance off each other for you know, strength endurance.
When are you making that program publicly available? I want to see the David Keown Stones and Bells program, man. Like,
there's the Stones.
That'd be awesome.
It's awesome. You know, it's awesome, because what I'm loving is, like, I have a flat stone at the back and I'm just adding kettlebell weights onto it, you know, so you can regulate it like deadlifts and stuff. Yeah. So yeah, it's amazing seeing yourself progress. And doing something that you never thought possible 12 months ago. You know?
I know you did a ton of mobility work for kettlebell sport. Is there anything specific to stone lifting that, like, you're like, oh, I need to add more, I need to add a different mobility component, or was it all covered?
No,
like, it was all there?
You know, I mean, the hip mobility especially, it comes in so handy when you're lifting these big weights. Because, A, you can get right down, literally off the grass when I'm picking them. And then when you're sitting in lap, like, I've often sat, like, literally with my ass bones on the grass, you know what I mean? So you're looking like a literal ass to grass squat, you know, so you don't have to pick the stone high. As long as you can get it over your knees, you can then pull that in and sit right down, you know what I mean? So, like, the
lowering
hip mobility,
yourself under the weight as opposed to needing to lift the weight further.
Exactly. So, I mean, using your body as cleverly as you can, because, like I said, I'm not a massive guy. I'm only 5'10", you know what I mean? So, like, to be able to have that mobility really, really helps, you know. So, I mean, because I've seen guys, like, you know, who are stronger than me who can't lift the same kind of weights that I'm doing, purely because they can't get into the positions, or, you know, they're not using their body to their full potential. They're using, say, you know, just using their back or something, rather than just, you know, using their glutes and their legs, because they can't get into position because mobility is terrible. So, like, mobility is the fountain of, like I said, it's the fountain of youth. It's the basis of everything. It's oiling the engine, and it's something I practice, like, still religiously every morning. You know, I'm up and I'm doing 30 minutes mobility work every day. You know, I'd call it the brushing my teeth of my joints. I just get up and just go through full range of motion stuff every single day, you know.
That's awesome.
Like I said, it helps. It helps no matter what. If it's pure strength, if it's kettlebells, whatever you're into, if you can get into positions quicker, better and faster, and, like, you stack your joints correctly, you know, you've got a head start on everybody.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. That it's the brushing your teeth of athletic expression. That's because it really is like that's one thing. Like I was actually just telling one of my athletes yesterday. We were talking about why he's feeling the limitation overhead in jerk, especially as the weights get heavier. And yeah. And it's like I think it's thoracic extension and some lat some mid lat flexibility and mobility piece. And I was telling him kind of the same thing. I was like. Here's a few things that you can do. I was like, but you got to do it every day because like we're at computers for 10 hours a day and 30 minutes twice a week of working on your thoracic extension isn't going to make a difference overcoming, 60 hours, at a computer and then whatever time we spend looking at a phone and what have you. So, but yeah, I like that. I like that expression. It's the brushing your teeth. You have to do it. You have to do it every day.
It's the truth. And like I said, it's something that you have to do. You have to use it or you're going to lose it. And like I said, mobility especially, that's where you see all these some of these old people who were just like literally just bent over, just from not working on that, they were just older, different generation and stuff. But like we have access to all this kind of information now. So I don't think there's any excuse other than the fact that I don't like it, fuck it. I mean, this is your body. Yeah. You only get one, so go out and get fucking.
There's always an excuse. There's never good reasons, right? That's the point. There's always excuses. There are very few reasons that exist. So.
Exactly. I like that.
All right, brother. Well, I'm going to let you go because I'm going to go take my kids to the pool.
I'm going to finish off my pint and I'm going to go in and chill out on the sofa. Jordan, it was awesome seeing you again, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's try and not make it a bit short in 12 months.
I was just going to say, we need to maybe connect, more than once a year. But I appreciate you, brother. This is super fun. And I am going to ping you offline to get some of the names and some of the websites and stuff that you listed so I can put them in the show notes and make sure people have those resources. And we're going to let everybody know when you're doing your festival because
awesome.
Look, I want to see you
lift. Tune in.
I want to see you lift the O'Flaherty stone. And
so do I.
It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fantastic. Awesome, man. It's going to be awesome. So good on you, man.
Nice one, George.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
See you, man.
Sláinte.
You too, man. Sláinte.
See you soon, brother. Peace.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Platform Podcast. We'll be back with a new episode soon. Please be sure to leave a rating and review of the Platform Podcast in your app of choice. Support our work by supporting our affiliates. And of course, if you have questions or you want help reaching your goals, reach out to me. Until next time, thanks for listening.